Good morning. My name is Ken Nafziger. For those of you who are new, if you were fortunate enough to meet Phoebe, I'm her husband. So this morning, I want to share with you a sermon entitled Recalculating, Making Decisions on the Journey of Life. About 6 weeks ago, Marlon preached a sermon entitled We Were Made for More. And he was encouraging us that we don't need to live our lives, in the words of Henry David Thoreau, lives of quiet desperation. And in a section on the presentation, he was talking about navigating the pathways of life. To live up to our potential, we need to choose the right destination and the correct navigation system, and we need to choose a system that we can trust. He went on to share that the Holy Spirit is like a navigational system, and he likened it to a GPS unit. And based on Jesus' words in Scripture, we can trust the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. But you may also remember that he interviewed Josh Putney. And Josh Putney trusted his GPA when he, or his GPA. Too much academia. All right. He was trusting his GPS unit when he was going from Denver, Pennsylvania, to Leola. And he knew he was in trouble when he found himself in King of Prussia. Now, I don't have the map here, but if you know the local geography at all, Leola is south of Denver, and King of Prussia is quite a ways east. So a trip that should have taken him about 25 or 30 minutes ended up taking him about 2 hours. As Josh was sharing his story, my mind began to ponder. It wasn't wandering. I was paying attention, but I began to ponder the question, what were the clues that maybe he was not on track? You know, if you're going south, do you want to be going, if your destination is south, do you really want to be going east? You know, I don't know if he took the turnpike or not, but you know, if he happened to be on the turnpike, did he ever ask himself, does the turnpike go through Leola? You know, what were some of the clues that may have let him know that he may have been a little bit off track? Since Marlon was talking about the pathways of life, as I was thinking about Josh and he should have known better, the question evolved to, as I make decisions in my life, what are the clues that I might be headed in the wrong direction? What are the warning signs? What are the safeguards that might alert me that as I'm making decisions that I'm headed to King of Prussia and not to Leola? What are the clues that I might be headed in the wrong direction? Maybe to ask the question a little bit different way, what are the navigational aids that we have that would enable me to make choices in my life? As I plot the course of my life on this journey of life, can I trust the various GPS units that I utilize? So now forward to last week, and Marlon was talking about the great adventure we call life. In John, the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I have come that we may have life, that you may have life, and have it more abundantly. That's my paraphrase. And to join this great adventure, to live life to the full, we need to surrender to the King, we need to merge the sacred and the secular, we need to bloom where we're planted, and we need to play the cards that you have been dealt. He used the analogy of a game of cards, and where when you play cards, you're always dealt a hand. Now, we don't have any control over which cards we receive when they're dealt. You may not like the cards that you've been dealt, but you can't get a redeal. So you play the best that you can with the cards that you've been given. But then he also reminded us that if you got a two, that God chooses the trump. So God can change, can make adaptations, if you will, to the cards that we have to give us the advantage that he wants us to have at a particular time. So a valid question is, if I have a hand of cards and I'm playing the game of life, how do I play the cards that I've been given? How do I decide which card to lay when? How do I make decisions? This is in the game of life. You know, we make decisions every day. You decide if you're going to get up in the morning. You decide if you're going to set the alarm clock the night before so that you can get up in the morning. Some decisions are very important, like what cereal am I going to have for breakfast? Now, depending on your age, that may be critical. But it may not be. But there are other decisions that are very critical, like should I spend a year in YWAM? How do I treat my spouse? How do I treat my children? You know, who do I marry? Which college should I go to? Should I even go to college? You know, should I start my own business? As we walk this pathway of life and as we make decisions, how do I stay on track? How do I stay true to the path that God has laid out for me? What are the navigational aids that I have to use to guide me? And those are some of the questions, some of the issues that I would like to address this morning. How do we decide? But before I begin, I have a few disclaimers. Number one, I'm not going to give you a crystal ball, a list of things that if you do all this, it'll be perfect for you in your life and in the future. Not going to happen. Number two, I would remind us that each of us is different. We have different personalities. We have different family contexts. We come from different backgrounds. We have different skills, different gifts. We each have a different hand of cards to play. And what works for you may not necessarily work for me. At the same time, there are certain principles that are true and unchanging that apply to all of us. When you play a game of cards, there are rules to the game. You may not like the rules, but there are rules nonetheless. We can't make up our own rules. Number three, God is sovereign. God is sovereign and God is good. I truly believe that God loves each one of us and wants the best for us, each one of us in each situation. Number four, I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. I believe it's true. I believe it is a reliable guide for daily living. There are principles there that we can apply. It's God's instructional manual for life here on planet Earth. Number five, I believe that there is truth that is transcendent. There is truth that is outside of me. There is truth that is outside of the material universe. You've heard me talk about the material, things you can touch, taste, smell, feel, and the immaterial, that aspect of our lives that you can't grab a hold of. There is truth that is in the immaterial realm. It exists whether I believe it or not. It exists whether I accept it or not. And it applies to me, and it applies to you, whether you like it or not. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't true. There are rules to the game that exist, whether we like them or not. Number six, we live in a fallen world. We're a fallen people. We have this inborn tendency to make mistakes, to make bad decisions. I am fallible. I have made mistakes. I have made some real doozies, and I'm not going there. But I also believe that God extends grace, countless second chances we can have through the cross. God extends forgiveness through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross. You know, that's a decision we can make to accept that. If you have questions, please talk to me about it. But grace is available that we can have second chances. Number seven, we have the capacity to choose. One aspect of being made in the image of God is that we are creatures of choice. We can make decisions. Most of the time, I would say all the time, we can choose what we're going to do or what we're not going to do. Some would argue with that, and that's okay. We may not like our options. We may not like the results of the different options that we have. The decision may be very difficult, but we have a choice. We are not pre-programmed robots. We can't say, the devil made me do it. Doesn't fit. So basically, up here, I've given you my worldview. We all have a worldview. We all have a set of propositions. We all have a set of things that we believe to our core. And it's through that framework and through that grid, if you will, that we live our life. Now, I gave you that because that's my framework. You don't have to agree with it. But if you don't agree with some of the things I've said up here, what I'm going to say this morning will make no sense. I believe the Bible's true. If you don't believe that, then what I'm going to say won't make any sense to you. You don't have to accept this. That's okay. You may choose. You may choose how you're going to play the cards that you've been given. You may choose how you're going to make decisions. But I want you to know that that's my framework. Those are the propositions that I use as I make my choices. Okay? So, let's get started. We have three navigational aids that we have. The first one is personal experience and advice. We have a GPS and we have a map. So if you go to your notes, the first one there is that we have personal experience. What I want to do is I want to ask Marlon to come up, and I'm going to ask him to share his story from when he was a rock star.
I can assure you that Marlon was never a rock star, but some of you know that I played in a band back in the 70s, and I want to tell you a little story of something that happened. Ken requested, and some of you have heard this story before, but probably many of you haven't. We gave a concert in Heston, Kansas, and from there, that was in an evening, and then from there, we were traveling east to Versailles, Missouri, to give another concert. And for those of you that know your geography, Kansas is kind of sandwiched in between Missouri to the east and Colorado to the west. We traveled in an old 4104, an old GMC coach, and so we left, I think, probably sometime late morning to travel to Versailles, Missouri. And when we changed drivers in this old coach bus, we never stopped. One guy just stood up, grabbed a hold of the wheel. The other guy slid in behind. The guy stepped out. And that's the way we always did it. So that's what happened. We left Heston, Kansas, left the college here where we had given this concert. And I don't remember who was driving. Whoever it was stood up, and a guy named Daryl slid in behind him. The guy who left the seat in the bus said to Daryl, just stay on Route 50. So Daryl did exactly what he said. He just stayed on Route 50. So we're traveling hours and hours and hours. All of a sudden, there was this siren behind us. It was a policeman. So he pulled us over. So Daryl gets out of the bus, and we're all like, oh, Daryl, there you go, Daryl. You know. So Daryl goes back and talks to the officer. And the officer said, so where are you guys going in such a hurry? And Daryl said, we're going to Versailles, Missouri. And the cop went, really? Where are you going? And Daryl said, Versailles, Missouri. And the policeman said, I think you better go back inside that bus and find out where you're going. So Daryl came back, the doors opened up, and he said, hey guys, where are we going? And we said, Versailles, Missouri. I was the manager of the band. I said, Versailles, Missouri. Daryl went, okay. He went back to the policeman and said, Versailles, Missouri. And the guy said, you're in a lot of trouble, because you're in about an hour and a half from the Colorado border. And he did stay on Route 50. That's what he did. But he was going the wrong direction, traveling. We were going the wrong direction, traveling west instead of east. And so we did not have cell phones in those days. Nobody even thought of cell phones. So we stopped in a little town, and I got on a payphone, and I called where we were supposed to go. And I said, you better sit down, because we're in trouble. We had a concert that night. By now, it was late in the afternoon. It takes us 3, 4, 5 hours to set up. And we were scheduled to be there probably somewhere around 10 or 11 o'clock at this point. We were supposed to be there at like 3 in the afternoon. And so the guy said, not a problem. We have a youth center here. We'll just keep the kids occupied. There was a couple people that had traveled several hours to this concert. And so they opened up the youth center, and everybody just had a good time. We arrived 9 or 10 o'clock at night, had about a half hour to set up and do a sound check, which is disastrous when you're in a band. But, you know, when that policeman told us what we needed to do, we just got in that bus. And this was an old two-stroke 4104 GMC, and he just put that accelerator to the floor, and he went as fast as he could. Fortunately, no more policemen, and that's what happened.
So what was the first clue that you were headed
the first
the wrong direction?
Clue that we were going the wrong direction was the policeman. That was the first clue. That's right.
So was anybody paying attention?
No one was paying attention.
You were going west in the afternoon, driving into the setting
sun, thinking
you're going east.
We were going west. We were driving into the setting sun. That is exactly right. That is one clue that we didn't pick up on.
One clue that you didn't pick up. Okay. One clue. So nobody was paying attention. How much time did it cost you?
Hours. Hours and hours. I think probably 6 hours.
And what did you learn? Probably.
Well, we learned...
not to trust the manager.
Learned to... Yeah, don't trust the manager. Learn to pay attention. Yeah.
Learn to pay attention. The point I want you to remember is this. If we rely on our own intuition, our own experiences, or advice from others, we may get off track. Experience or advice can be very helpful, and it may be sufficient for the situation. For example, if you've had a bad case of poison ivy and you know what it looks like, you can avoid it. You know, over the last couple of months, I've benefited greatly from friends who gave me a lot of information about what kind of truck to get, and thank you. But remember, we are a fallen people. And we have a tendency to make poor choices. Our friends, though well-intentioned, may lead us astray. So be careful who you ask. You know, if you want a good marriage, watch and model those who have a solid marriage relationship. If you're making a financial decision, don't ask someone who's always broke. If you're looking for spiritual direction, be sure you seek the counsel of someone who is sensitive to spiritual issues. Even if we have crossed the line of faith, even if we have Jesus as our Savior and Lord, our propensity to make poor choices is always with us. So we need to be careful. If we don't stay alert and periodically check the road signs, we may think we're heading east to Missouri when in reality we're almost at the Colorado border. Now, when we're not sure about direction or where we're going, we have other navigational aids that we can turn to. The second one is the Holy Spirit, our trustworthy GPS. Go to your notes. It's a trustworthy GPS. Before Jesus went to the cross, he talked with his disciples in the upper room, and he prepared them for his leaving. And he told them that the Holy Spirit would come to guide them. His conversation with his disciples is recorded in the Gospel of John, and he said this, "All I have spoken or talked to you while I'm still here, but when the advocate or the counselor is coming, the Father will send them and he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." He continues the conversation and says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come." Jesus promised the disciples, and he promised us, that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. For those who have crossed the line of faith and trust Jesus as Savior and Lord, we have the Holy Spirit within us to help us navigate the journey of life. It's like an internal divine GPS unit, and we can follow his directions as we make decisions. But can we trust this GPS that we have inside? Remember, Josh Putney trusted his GPS, and he ended up in King of Prussia. His GPS was broken, or at least it malfunctioned. How do we know that the Holy Spirit will not mislead us? And I think that's a valid question. Not because the Holy Spirit can be wrong. I believe strongly that the Holy Spirit is infallible and will not be wrong. But it may be that I don't understand or misinterpret his directions. Some of you who are fans of The Office may remember this clip.
Wait, no. It means bear right. There.
It said right, so take a right.
No, look. It means go up to the right, bear right, over the bridge, and look up with the rail sign.
Make a right.
Maybe it's a shortcut, Dwight. It said go to the right.
It can't mean that. There's a light there.
He knows where he's going.
The machine knows.
Stop yelling at me.
No, it's not right.
The machine knows. The machine knows what it's doing. Dwight tried to reason with Michael, you know, and Michael just said, "Stop yelling at me." And they end up in the lake. You know, we understand that the GPS was correct. Go up, take a right, and go on Route 307. Michael only heard the first piece of that. Turn right. Now we laugh. How many of us do the same thing? How many of us feel a little bit like Michael? You know, the machine did not lead them into the lake. They ended up in the lake because Michael didn't interpret the directions correctly. And he wouldn't listen to Dwight because the machine knows what it's doing. 2 points I want you to get from this. One is, a correctly functioning GPS can be misinterpreted. And we can misinterpret the Holy Spirit's guidance. Have you ever felt like Michael? Have you ever felt like you're trusting the Holy Spirit? You're trying to do what he tells as best you know how, and you end up in a lake, or worse. You know, what clues would there have been that maybe you're misinterpreting what the Holy Spirit was saying? Or maybe that if I'm listening, I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit, what are the clues that I may be blinded by my own self-interest and not really hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to me? I can assure you that the Holy Spirit will not lead you astray. You may not like where he's leading you, but he will always lead you where he wants you to go. Perhaps you feel like Dwight. Perhaps you have a close friend who claims to hear from the Holy Spirit and fails to listen to reason because they're sure that the machine is right, and they end up in the lake. When we're confused or when we're not sure, when life gets messy and we think we're headed for the lake, how can we be sure that we're hearing God correctly? Are there ways that we can test or clarify what we're hearing? You know, we can ask our friends, but are they reliable? Daryl relied on the driver before him to stay on Route 50. Thankfully, we have another navigational aid, and that is the Bible. The Bible is our reliable roadmap for the journey. When Phoebe and I travel, generally I drive and she navigates. If we drive locally here, we know where we're going. We will rely on our own intuition. But if we go out where we're not sure of the way, we follow a map, a paper map. So we get our maps from AAA. A couple of weeks ago, we went out to see our son and his family in Wisconsin. So we made sure that we had maps from Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Illinois, Wisconsin and Michigan. So we're driving along. We're in central Michigan. You can see on the map there, we have our route all lined out. So we're south of, just south of Flint, and we're driving along. Phoebe's driving. We're sitting there, and she's got the map, paper map, on her knees, and we're following. And we get to this sign that says so many miles to Detroit. So Phoebe looked at the map and says, I think we missed a turn. I think we missed our route. We want to be headed to Ann Arbor, not Detroit. Now, I was driving. I had seen the signs for Route 23. I didn't take it. I figured we were going to stay on 75. So we recalculated, made a few turns, got back on, and we're going. The important thing I want you to understand is that Phoebe was astute. She was watching where we were going. She was following the map. And we were able to catch it early rather than finding out we're down in Detroit when we want to be in Ann Arbor. 2 things I want you to get from this. One is, a map is no good if you don't follow it. You can have the best map in the world, and if you don't follow it, it does you absolutely no good. Secondly, you can tell if you get off track. If you know your map, and if you know where you're headed, and if you're paying attention, which is key, then you can determine when you get off track. But if you're not paying attention, if you're driving into the sun thinking you're going east in the evening, it doesn't do you much good. I want to make it practical. The Bible is God's roadmap for daily living. It's his direction by how we live our lives day by day. It's very detailed. Got a lot of instructions on how to make decisions. You can even get it on your phone if you don't like paper. So it's available. You know, in the Old Testament, we have the book of Exodus that has a lot of things in it, but it also has the Ten Commandments. Very explicit directions. In Micah, the prophet Micah, the Lord says this: this is what the Lord really wants from you. He wants you to promote justice, to be faithful, and to live obediently before your God. In the New Testament, we have the words of Jesus. We have the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, which includes the golden rule: treat others as you want them to treat you. If you like the King James, Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. If you like King James, there it is. You can get it in different translations. But the information is there. We have the lessons of the parables that Jesus taught. The Good Samaritan, the parable of the sower, the parable of the lost sheep. The Bible is filled with instructional material. There's a lot of places it tells us what we should do and things that we shouldn't do. Paul wrote letters to the churches at Rome and Galatia and Philippi. Marlon's going to preach out of the book, the letter to the Ephesians in the coming weeks. And I'm sure that there will be information in there that we can use as we make our decisions day by day. We may even read some things that are difficult, the things that we don't like love your enemy. Don't worry. You know, love your wife. Respect your husband. Don't exasperate your children. Pray for your rulers. I could go on and on and on and on, but I won't. What I want you to understand is that the information is there. If you familiarize yourself with God's word, you will find the instructions to live life so that you may have life and have it abundantly. The Bible is true and it's reliable as a guide for daily living. Paul tells us that Scripture is inspired and useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. But if you don't believe it, or you don't follow it, it's of no use. Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, whose interpretation, which translation of the Bible do we follow? And that's a valid concern. I'm glad you're listening. Whose interpretation of the Bible do we believe? I don't have time this morning to explain the hermeneutical principles of biblical interpretation. That's the big word for the morning. Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the theory and methodology of biblical interpretation. How we view the Bible and how we interpret it is very important. You know, many modern scholars do not consider the Bible to be God's word. And if you don't consider it to be God's word, then it's not authoritative. If you think it's just a good example of ancient literature from the Near East back 3 or 4 centuries ago, that's totally different than if you think it's God's revelation to us. And you will treat it differently because then it means something if it's God's word to us. So when we read the Bible and when we read commentaries, and when we listen to interpretations of the Bible, we need to understand where the author who's writing that is coming from. If we read the Bible for ourselves and allow the Spirit to guide us and use study guides, commentaries, and other study helps, you need to know the view of the author. If they accept the traditional authority and high view of the Bible, we can generally understand what the author, the biblical author, is communicating to us. Some of you may also be thinking, what about the issues that the Bible doesn't directly address? Again, that's a very valid concern, and we have addressed them periodically. For example, what's the Bible say about medical marijuana? What does the Bible say about gender identity or gender fluidity? What does it say about organ donation? What does it say about three-parent embryos? What does it say about uterine transplants or kidney transplants? It's a valid question. Those are all issues that we're grappling with today. But I believe that in those cases, with proper hermeneutics, with proper study and understanding the Scripture, I believe we can find principles that apply to the various cultural questions that we have today. To summarize what I've said this morning, we have 3 navigational resources to help us make decisions in life. We have our own experience and advice from friends that we trust. We have the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. And we have the Bible, God's instruction book for our lives. However, as we make important decisions, it's critical to understand the reliability and trustworthiness of the 3 resources. The least trustworthy is to rely solely on my own experience or the advice of my friends. Not that we're always wrong, but remember, we have a tendency to make poor choices. We need to be careful how much credibility we assign without additional input. Fortunately, if we screw up, there's grace. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit, our divine GPS unit, is completely trustworthy. The Holy Spirit will never lead us astray. The catch is that we may misinterpret or misapply his directions. And if we're not careful, we may end up in a lake. The good news is that we then have the Bible as a roadmap to guide us. And I believe that the Bible is the ultimate final authority for direction and guidance in life's journey. The final thought I want to leave you with is this. It's not that we have to choose one over the other or pick one over the other. The best scenario is when we use all three to work together. When we rely solely on our own intuition and experience, we may get off track. But intuition guided by the Holy Spirit can give a more reliable experience. Godly friends who know the Scripture can give us reliable advice based on truth found in the Scripture. But do not follow the advice or their example if it runs counter to the teachings of Scripture. If your friends at school pick on the new kid, don't follow them. If your friends are in a relationship with benefits, don't follow them. Be sure to test all the advice from your friends against the teachings of Scripture. Regarding our divine GPS, I can assure you that the Holy Spirit is reliable. If we seek his guidance, he will lead us to the truth. I can also assure you that he will never lead you to act or think contrary to Scripture. The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do something that is counter what's written in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit and the Bible are not in conflict, but our understanding may be. I'm fully aware that there are very difficult passages in the Bible that seem to be contradictory. Those passages take great study. They take Bible study, they take prayer, they take guidance. However, for most of us, our life's journey does not intersect with those really difficult passages. There's plenty of passages in the Scripture that are very clear and very easy to understand. Those we need to follow. Let's not get hung up on the difficult ones. In closing, I'd just like to say that for those of us who have crossed the line of faith, for those of us who claim Jesus as Savior and Lord, if the goal of our time here, if our destination on this earth is to be like Christ and to serve him, then we need to be alert and aware of signs that we may be veering off track. As we journey through life, as we make decisions from day to day, using the navigational resources available, we can proceed with confidence. We can rely on the Holy Spirit and the Bible to provide the guidance and the direction that we need. The best advice that I can give you to help you and make decisions is to learn to know your map well. If you spend time in God's Word, if you read it, and if you follow it, then you'll be able to understand. You'll be able to sense those early subtle signs that you're veering off track. And you can avoid going to Colorado when you really want to go to Missouri. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you love us. We're grateful that you've given us the Holy Spirit. We're grateful that you give us godly friends. Father, I ask that as we make decisions, as we make choices, that you would guide our choices, honor our desire to be who you want us to be. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you give Ken a hand of thank you for that? Thanks a lot, Ken. And I'm really grateful for the things that you shared. I think it just helps us when we think about how we make decisions. And all of us here today, we make decisions every day, and I appreciate that. And one comment I wanted to make about the Word of God. Sometimes we, and I was thinking about this as you were wrapping it up, sometimes we get really hung up on the things in Scripture that we don't understand. And I just want to say, if we're obedient and follow the things we do understand, we'll be plenty busy enough, would be kind of what I've learned over the years. I'd like to invite the prayer team up at this time. It's Jim and Elsie. You guys can stand to your feet if you would. Jim and Elsie will be available up here afterwards just to pray with any of you. Maybe you're at a crossroad in your life. Maybe you have a little tiny decision, like someone to pray with you, or maybe you have a huge decision, and Elsie and Jim would just love to take a couple minutes and to pray with you. Let's bow our heads for the benediction. Blessed are those who seek the roads of the kingdom, for they will feel the hand of the Lord. Blessed are those who travel unfamiliar paths, for they will hear the voice of the Spirit. Blessed are all who cry out when they have lost their way, for they will learn to trust the very words of God. Blessed are you when you seek the way of your King. Amen. God bless you. Have a great weekend.